Live on 103.7 The Beat, it's The Judge Show with Judge Gregory C. Pittman.
Here come the judge. Here come the judge.
Tune in on Thursday at 5 p.m. as the judge discusses family court, paternity, divorce, domestic relations, neglect, and your legal rights. Got a question? Call the judge at 231-722-8338. All rise. The show is now in session.
Welcome to the Honorable Judge Gregory C. Pittman Radio Show, brought to you by Grand Valley State University, the one and only.
Yes, sir.
The one and only. Yeah. Fresh back from Chicago.
Yeah.
Sitting in the VIP section.
There you go.
Yeah, I saw you on TV.
There you go.
I'm just happy to know you.
Thank you, man. Well, the feeling is mutual. I am so pleased to count you as a friend of mine. Yes, thank you.
How was the United Center?
Expensive.
Set you back a couple dollars.
It's expensive. My wife had a $5 ice cream cone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's huge.
No, it wasn't huge. It just cost $5. That's my point, bro.
It was a special McDonald's break?
I don't know.
$5 ice cream?
It wasn't special enough for $5. Yes, sir.
Wonder what makes it so expensive.
Man, once they got you in, they got you in, right? They got you. You got to pay for it. A lot of folks. I saw a good number of people from Muskegon over there last night.
Wow. Was it packed?
It really was not sold out. No, it was not. It wasn't sold out. Good crowd. I think the United Center seats about 22,000. I'd say it's probably about 15,000 there.
Wow.
You know, it's a good crowd.
That's good.
Good crowd. Yeah.
Mostly, would you say home people from Chicago? Or?
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, what I noticed in the hotel lobby was, you know, each kid seemed to have a nice contingent of people from wherever they were from, you know, and that's one of those events where a lot of the people who are connected to college basketball who had not gone on to the Final Four yet were, you know, kind of hanging out there. I got a chance to meet and talk to for a good while a guy you may not remember. His name is Sonny Hill.
No, I don't.
Sonny Hill was a fantastic basketball player from the East Coast. He's from Philadelphia. And I'd imagine I can call him Sonny now that we didn't kick it. Sonny was probably in his, I would say, in his early 70s.
Okay.
But Sonny was also a commentator for NBA basketball way back in the day.
Okay.
Back when I was a kid. Matter of fact, when I saw him Friday night, or saw him last night at the game, and just, you know, introduced myself to him. Nice, really nice guy. And then we were in the same hotel and ran into him this morning and got a chance to spend some time talking with him. And I told him, you know, I remember listening and watching you on NBA games back when Walt Frazier and JoJo White and all those guys were playing.
JoJo White.
Yeah,
Celtics,
man.
Celtics, right?
Yeah, Celtics.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I couldn't stand him, man. I couldn't stand him. Oh, my. I have heard that name so long.
Well, Jerry West and Wilt and all those guys. And Lou Alcindor was still Kareem was still Lou Alcindor.
Right.
Yeah. Oscar Robertson, all those guys were still playing then.
Wow.
And he looked at me and said, "Man, you ain't old enough to know, remember that." I said, yes, I am, man. I'm old enough. I was a kid.
Right.
You know. And what a nice guy, man. What a complete guy. He runs a summer league in Philly and he's got mentoring programs, you know, and Keith was nearby when I was talking, and I introduced them, and you know, his message was, you know, completely always, you know, don't let Don't let basketball use you. Use basketball. That was always his message. And that's what he kind of left us with. So, you know, there might be some old heads who are listening today who remember Sonny Hill. But, you know, he was a voice and a personality from when I was growing up.
Wow.
That was so connected to NBA and college basketball.
I want people to know I say I couldn't stand JoJo White, not because of the person.
No, because of the Celtics.
Oh, my God. Oh, this dude was good.
We all hated the Celtics,
right,
man.
Right.
You
right.
know, the rival. John Havlicek and Don Nelson. Man, we hated them guys,
man. They stacked
man.
The deck, didn't they?
Oh, and they always found a way to win.
To win.
Always found a way to win.
At the end of the game.
Hated them guys, man. But you know, I was a Knicks fan.
Right.
You know,
right.
Clyde and Dick Barnett.
Right. I was with the Lakers, of course. I think wherever Kareem was at, I think it was Bucks.
Well, exactly. Bucks. I'm with you. See, I dug Milwaukee when he first went there, and then he moved out to L.A., you know.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you know, I just got some pictures text to me from Keith.
Oh, okay.
Keith Guy.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Was you anywhere near where he's sitting at? You was right there next to the referees.
Right. Right. I was.
Same
row. Same back or behind.
Some great pictures.
Yeah. Great seats, man. Great place, you know.
Can you describe?
They took care of him.
On TV, it looked like it was real fast. Uh-huh. Was it like that?
Well, you know, that close, it's a different feel, you know, and it's, yeah, but these kids were moving, man. They were moving fast.
Okay.
They were fast. They were physical. They were big, strong. It's amazing what basketball at that level really looks like. Although, of course, you know, any of us who really appreciate basketball would say it wasn't a great game because it wasn't a team, you know,
right.
team effort, but. These kinds of games never are considered, you know, for team type play. You
right.
know? And I think Didi did a real nice job for him. So he's more of a team player. He's not a flash guy,
showboat.
You know.
Yeah, not
no,
a showboat. Yeah.
That's not his game, you know. But he had a solid stat line. I think he had 6 points and 10 boards and a couple of blocks and assists. You know, he did everything, and he played the kind of game he plays. This game is never intended to showcase big men. It's about guards. It's about guys who are handling the ball. You know.
But in spite of all that, 6 points and 9 rebounds.
Yeah, yeah. In 16 minutes.
In 16 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. Solid stats against. As good a competition as you'll find at the high school level.
A lot of expectations is on this guy's shoulder now.
Yeah, people need to be, you know, people who appreciate the game and really look at basketball understand that he's not going to go to Michigan State and do 20 and 10. He's not going to be a 20-point a night, 10 rebound a night kind of guy.
Right.
You know, a solid year, I think, for him next year would be if he was to give them 15 to 20 minutes a night.
Okay, right.
If he were to, maybe score 6-7 points a night and give them that much in rebounding and defense, which is where I think he's really going to, Tom Izzo is really going to enjoy having him and find a role for him. But if he's playing 20 minutes a night, I think he's going to do very well.
Well, I think it's a Free Press or the Detroit News about a month ago did an article that his play at Michigan State is going to put them, well, they already there,
mm-hmm.
but it's going to.
Yes, they are. And I intend before we leave, PA.
Oh, my God.
I intend that we're going to hear the Michigan State fight song before we close this show out, or I'm going to boycott.
Strike.
I'm going to strike. I'm right. There you go.
Strike.
I'm going
strike.
On strike.
And I know you're a union guy anyway, so he wanted to say that anyway. But it's your show. So, you know, in spite of popular belief, we have to play it.
Got to play the fight song. What did I tell you 2 weeks ago?
I just thought you was just, you know, you say it every year, and I'm like, okay, all right.
But you was on.
I didn't.
Yes,
did nobody really expect this far, though?
Yes, sir.
They shocked some people.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
A lot of us.
Now you got some critics saying they going all the way.
Well, you know, I mean, it's a tough climb, man. That Kentucky team is no joke, but you're playing with house money. Tom Izzo is playing with house money. He probably would have been the first person to tell you that I think I have a good team, but right. I don't know if I can we can pull it all together to be a Final Four team in time.
Right.
You know, to pull it together in the amount of time necessary. And wow. These guys have just battled and just played, and they've shown what it's about to be a team.
Right.
To play hard as a team as opposed to having the greatest talent. I think out of the four teams, without a doubt, they are easily the lesser talented team.
Okay.
You know, it's by all measures, you know, Final Four. I mean, McDonald's All-Americas or right. stats coming out of school or even what they did during the course of the year. Yeah. Right. But as a team, they come together, man, and they play like they made all of us Spartan Nation proud.
Tell me this, Judge. Now, you graduated from two colleges. I know you graduated from Indiana. Why you don't rep them like you do state?
Well, I do. But, hey, where are they?
Which one are you more connected to?
Oh, by far, Michigan State. And my thinking is that, you know, your undergrad years are the years that you are really kind of building your relationships. And I got great relationships from law school, too. But in law school, you know, quite honestly, you didn't have the time and interest almost in following sports and all that kind of thing. You know, you might have made it to a game when you had a minute to do something. But, you know, in your undergrad years, that's when you know.
You hung out.
Yeah, you're really in there, man. You know, you really are in there. So I'm always going to be far, far more connected to Michigan State than IU. But I am incredibly fond of IU. And trust me, when they made the last Final Four, mm-hmm. I had my IU stuff clicking. Wow. You know,
Your degree is equivalent to a doctor's degree, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to go get a doctor. You already have a doctor, pretty much.
There is one further degree in law, and it is it's oddly enough, it's called a master's of law. Mm. And it really specializes in certain very specific fields of the law. But my degree is called a Juris Doctor.
Okay.
Which is sort of a subspecies of a doctorate's degree. It's less time overall for a doctorate. It takes 3 years to get the Juris Doctor versus 4 years, you know, with a master's and then whatever amount of time is left to work on that doctorate degree. So, yeah, it's, you know, I respect enough what people have to do to get their doctorate, where they have to defend a dissertation, where they have to write a full on paper. I mean, virtually a book.
Right.
And then have to go before people who are experts in that area and defend what it is they've written. I respect that enough not to try to equivocate what I have to what they've done. That's why I kind of, you know, the personal thing of mine, I see some of these, I see preachers mm-hmm. who become doctors.
Yeah. Online.
They haven't put that time. And here's why I say that. Yeah, you know,
not the prepaid online, not the one you actually do the work.
Well, I say that because, you know, there are divinity schools,
right?
I mean that go through the entire academic and intellectual rigor of gaining a doctorate in divinity, and that's the full, you know, four years or thereabouts post undergrad.
Right.
Now, I've seen cats, man, that I wasn't certain if they graduated from college, but I look up and now they're calling themselves Dr. such and so and so.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I mean, who am I? I'm not a hater. I ain't no player hater. You know, if you can get it, you got it.
Right.
But really, I you know, the respect for the intellectual pursuit of completing that full coursework and that full curricula to become a doctor. You know, I don't take that lightly, man. That's a lot of work.
You bring up a good point, because it's hard to distinguish which of these are real doctors.
Mm-hmm. Or well, you know, I mean, the argument would be if I went through what they put out there and I paid for it and they sent it, I'm real.
But some of it's not like certified, you know, college collegiate certificate.
Yeah.
It's just like the these college meal places where mm-hmm. you pay a couple of dollars wherever and they give you a doctor's certificate. And
mm-hmm.
next thing you know, somebody calling themselves a prophet and a doctor. And
Mad at if you don't call them the same.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, again, I'm not a hater. You know, you went the route you went, and you know, it certainly does not diminish what your capacity is to be inspired to preach the word.
Right.
But if you're going to call, my thought is, if you're going to, you know, legitimately call yourself a doctor, you should go through the rigor,
right,
and the study and the testing and the challenging of your knowledge, just like every other PhD or doctor or juris doctor or whomever else has had to go through,
right,
to get there, you know. But far be it from me to knock your hustle.
Hustle, man.
That's not my place.
Like,
but
you didn't hate on Kreft for a dollar, did you?
Well, you know, I mean, here's the thing. If it came to a point where we were to actually meet and he were to, you know, make it an issue about being Dr. Creflo Dr.
I'm talking about the airplane situation.
Oh, man. Now, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on.
I can imagine what you said when you see.
Come on. You know what? Every man should be worthy of his labor. And I am. It's far from me to say that a person who is who leads a flock of people, who's a pastor, should not be able to enjoy the benefits of being successful,
right,
including the material benefits.
Right.
But everything is within some level of reason. And I don't know the full story. I don't know if, you know, the numbers that are coming in at his church dictate that, you know, a $65 million plane is well within the budget. Nobody's got to do anything different or put themselves out to be able to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
I say more power to you.
Right.
But if the premise is, in order for this person to be able to fulfill his calling to preach and teach all over, comes at the expense of people who have to literally sacrifice more than they're already sacrificing in order to be able to support the ministry, at the very least, then they should probably see some benefit, some tangible reward from that sacrifice. If I invest in PA mm-hmm. Inc. and PA says, man, listen, you invest in me, I'm going to be able to go out and really spread my message and do well. And every time PA lands, there's a $15,000, $20,000, $50,000 honorarium waiting on him.
Right.
And I sacrifice
right.
to help you to be able to get to the point where you can earn that. And right. if people are willing to pay that
right.
for you, that's fine.
Yeah.
What do I receive in return for this extraordinary sacrifice? See, because I think I'm already making the sacrifice that I think scripturally
right.
Is called for me being a member of a local assembly and a follower of Christ and that kind of thing. I think I'm making that sacrifice.
Right.
Now we're talking about a investment where there is the material reaping. PA.
Yeah,
don't forget me, man.
Don't forget you. Yeah. And I say, for the record, if you get me a $65 jet, I become a pastor. You know, that's what you want. Yeah. prophet, doctor, all that.
Well, I mean, you know, even the scripture said that seek ye first the kingdom,
yeah,
and then all these things will be added unto you.
Yeah.
Are we getting out of sequence? Seek ye first all of these things, right, and then we'll get to the kingdom.
Yeah, they're trying to get there first.
I don't know. I'm not, I don't know the full facts, and
yeah,
you know, if he could walk in here and say, well, if it's any of your business, let me show you,
right,
and lay the books out.
He pulled the page down, though.
You can pull it down?
He pulled it down. He stopped the page.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah. He took some heat for that. So.
Ah.
I guess we take a break. Judge, anything you want to talk about in particular there?
Spartans. No, I'm just kidding.
We had a chance to meet Brandon Davis.
Uh-huh.
He was on the show, I think, early this week or last week.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, like, I got Brandon Davis. Now we got Fred Johnson at the county building. We got Breonna Scott. We got Attorney Oaks. We got John Beeson.
Uh-huh.
We've seen that landscape is changing a little bit.
Yeah. There is a little color involved in jurisprudence here in Muskegon these days.
Let's talk about, you know, what that means and maybe how things have changed since the time you was on the bench.
I would love to. I would love to.
Be right back.
I'd love to. That'd be fun.
Call 722-8338 right now to ask the judge a question. It's the Judge Show on 103.7 The Beat.
WUVS 103.7 The Beat with Thompson Production presents Talent Showcase 2015, Saturday, May 9th at the Waters Performing Arts Auditorium at 7 p.m. Do you have talent? If so, auditions will be held on Friday, April the 17th at Edgewood Elementary School, located at 3028 Howden Street, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. There will be a non-refundable audition fee of $10 per person per act for this competition. Once again, auditions will be held on Friday, April 17th at Edgewood Elementary School, located at 3028 Howden Street, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. There will be a grand prize cash award of $1,000 given away to the lucky winner of this event. Good luck. For more information, call 231-727-5007.
This hour of programming is brought to you by Shoreline Motors, featuring your choice of premium pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs, offering an outstanding selection of late model vehicles. Shoreline Motors has a complete service facility for all your automotive needs and state-certified technicians and a complete detail department. They are located at 2221 Henry Street at Hackley and Muskegon. The website is shorelinecars.com and the phone number is 231-755-2116. Their slogan is, a great deal is a sure thing. Shoreline Motors is proud to be a supporter of your community station, 103.7 The Beat.
Nobody has truly seen it all, but Marie Haley has certainly seen more than most. As a caregiver at big city hospitals like Oakwood, Hutzel, and Henry Ford, Marie has been involved in labor, postpartum, triage, and emergency room nursing in a Level 1 trauma center. As the newest member of Hackley Community Care's talented team of certified nurse midwives, there's one thing Marie hasn't seen. You. Visit HackleyCommunityCare.org and schedule an appointment today.
Call 722-8338 right now to ask the judge a question. It's the Judge Show on 103.7 The Beat.
Their specialty is winning, and the Spartans play good ball. Special teams are never beaten, all through the team they'll fight. Fight for the only colors, green and white. Go right through that line, as you watch the points keep growing. Spartan teams are bound to win, they're fighting with the vent. Rock, 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 see their team is beginning. We're gonna win this game.
Fight, fight, our team, fight.
The victory for MSU.
Wow. You actually know the song.
Absolutely. And so do my kids.
Wow. That's mandatory at the house?
In my house.
Wow.
My baby is a Laker. She's a Grand Valley Laker, but she knows the Spartan
song. She knows the Spartan song.
Yes, sir.
She go to the game with you?
Yeah, she goes sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes she goes. She went yesterday for sure. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Before we get on to about the attorneys, tell me about the setting yesterday, this All-American basketball game setting. You
know? Well, I mean, you know, it's in the United Center. It's in the house that Michael Jordan built, right?
Right.
So, you know, you're already in this place, you know, one of the palaces of basketball. And to see these young men and know that next year each one of them is going to be an important part of major college basketball. They're, one of the kids who was playing, I was really impressed with, was the he's a guard. He wore number 12 last night. He's going to Kentucky.
Okay.
You know, so, I mean, that's the best of the best right there.
Right.
And, I mean, this kid, man, he looked mature. I'm like, is this kid a high schooler? He's got a wife and kids somewhere, you know?
Right.
6'4" and thick and, right. You know, strong and fast and confident, you know.
Right.
And, I mean, looking at our own, you know, Deontay, do you remember what he looked like 3-4 years ago?
Right. Yeah.
Skinny, you know, tall, skinny.
Yeah.
Man, I looked at him last night.
Beefed up a
little
bit.
This cat is thick.
Yeah.
And, you know, Izzo and the weight program at MSU haven't even gotten hold of him yet.
It's going to be like, what, 20 more pounds?
Easy. Easy.
Right.
You know, I would imagine he will probably wind up around, he's probably about 225. Now, I'd imagine he's going to wind up around 250.
Wow.
You know, 6'10", 250.
Wow.
Fast.
Was he one of the tallest kids out there?
Was he one of the
tallest kids?
Tallest?
Yeah.
No, that he blended in for the first time mm-hmm. since I've ever seen him play.
Right.
You know, he just was blending in.
Okay.
I mean, everybody was, you know, I didn't see too many kids who were less than 6'3".
Okay.
You know, there were a couple, you know, 5'10", 6-footers. And, you know, 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", 6'11". You know.
Wow. Wow. 231-722-8338. We got a question or comment for the judge. Wanted to get your opinion. We got quite a few African Americans attorneys now.
Yes. Well, you know, at least more visible.
More visible.
You know, there's attorneys who've been here, you know. Paul is in town.
Oh, and yeah. Attorney Waters.
Jim Waters. Yeah.
Williams.
Ted Williams, you know. And all of them have done good work at some points.
Right.
Over their careers and have been maybe more had more of a higher profile at some points than maybe they do now or have. You know, but now you're exactly right. Now in that county building every day litigating cases and representing people, you know, you got probably 4 or 5 African American attorneys who are in and out and doing tremendous work. You know, you mentioned Brandon Davis, who came over from Detroit, and he was hired by DJ. He was hired by DJ Hilson,
right?
Who, you know, I give all the credit in the world for. He put action to his word
mm-hmm.
that he wanted his staff at the prosecutor's office to have some diversity,
right?
To in some way. Mirror what the community that office serves looks like,
mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, he had another African American woman
right.
who just I think she applied for and got a tremendous grant to do some private work, so she left the office.
Okay,
Elizabeth McCree, that was her name.
Okay,
so at one point there was an African American male and female. Serving as assistant prosecutors. And then, you know, Fred.
Right.
Fred has come in and their office is doing exactly what we would hope they would have done, which is to provide a rigorous and competent defense to those who are indigent in criminal matters. Let's keep it clear. We all want to see people who have committed crimes answer for their wrongs.
Right.
I think that's the way a ordered society should work.
Right.
But we also don't want it to be a situation where if you are accused, that's it. It's over for you.
Right.
As opposed to you've been accused, but now it is incumbent upon that prosecutor's office to make the case, not simply make the accusation and let that accusation become the guilty verdict.
Right. Right.
And I'm telling you, man, Fred's office and the attorneys that are working in that office are doing a phenomenal job. I mean, I've heard of, I think, maybe 6 or 7 not guilties here in within this.
Last year was 7 from the office alone.
Yeah.
And so 8 total.
And that doesn't sound like a lot, you know, but I bet if you go back and look in the books as to what happened with public defenders, A, taking cases to trial, and B, being able to prevail on behalf of a client, I'd imagine that number far exceeds what this number we hear now is far and exceeds any other number you had heard before.
So that could possibly mean that some people probably went to prison that probably pleaded guilty to some things they probably didn't do.
I would say this, and I'm not casting aspersions on anybody personally, but I guarantee you, just knowing how the business works, just being a part of it, just having actually done criminal defense and knowing how this works, I guarantee you there are good numbers of people who are in prison who may not have been guilty of that particular charge that they went to prison for.
Hmm. Wow.
Guarantee you that.
Wow. But system like this, kind of like bouncing it out, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you know, the unsaid part of that guarantee is that these people had they arguably had the final say as to whether or not they would or would not plead guilty to something. So I know there are people who are in prison who are not guilty. And I also know that there and a good number of them are there and they pled guilty even though they knew they weren't guilty
mm-hmm.
because their circumstance dictated that might have been the easier course of action to get through to a quicker conclusion and get into and out of the trouble you're in quicker,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it's not like it was being forced on numbers of them. It was a conscious decision based on the fact that I have burned so many bridges or I have gotten myself into such a corner that now I cannot afford to stand on my constitutional right to defend myself.
Right.
Except that would cause me to see a much more extended period of trouble. So I'm going to take the easier way out,
right.
The quicker way out. It gets me back to where I want to be quicker.
Right.
I mean, it's a strategy.
Right. Yeah. Wow. 231-722-8338. Judge, any comments on the recent decision by CMH, Health West, to do some cuts?
I have not. I really, really have not followed that. So I would be speaking way, way out of turn in having any thought about what's going on. You know, yeah. I mean, in general, even though it looks like the economy is making some recovery,
mm-hmm.
still governmental entities are always, especially here in Muskegon County, are being pushed to do more with less. Okay.
Going to the phone line. Caller, you live with the Honorable Judge Pittman. You got a question or comment for the judge?
Hi, this is Attorney Paula Tillman.
Yes, it is.
Hey, how you doing, Paula?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Your Honor, your comments regarding the fact that we know there are innocent people in prison brought an interesting point up. I have been tracking prisoner rights for years. And I'm of the opinion that not our prosecutor per se, but due to prosecutorial misconduct,
mm-hmm.
I think state prosecutors should be charged at the federal level. And I was wondering, have you had an opinion about that?
Well, and thanks for calling.
I know there's no federal law, but I'm just saying, I wish it was.
Thanks for calling. It's always good to hear from Paula. I haven't really thought about. Here's what I think. First of all, I don't know if I'm willing, Paula, to go as far as to say that the great majority of those situations is due to prosecutorial misconduct. I don't know if I'm willing to go that far. But what I would say is that when situations occur where it appears that some line has been crossed some ethical boundary has been traversed, that the system of oversight for those prosecutors in those situations probably leaves a little to be, it lacks a little bit. Normally, when you get a situation where there's some question about the process that a prosecution has taken, it's turned over to the Attorney General's office here in the state. If it gets to that point. And, I'm not casting aspersions, but that level of oversight, I don't know if it always lends itself to the kind of rigor, the kind of scrutiny that maybe a more independent, less involved sort of a oversight body would entail. And that very well could be, Paul. I think you might not have a bad idea about the idea that the federal government, might need to have some role in that type of oversight as opposed to simply the state attorney general's office.
Thanks for calling. I know she hung up, but thanks for calling.
Attorney. Yeah. Well, that's an excellent question. Who's looking at what they're doing?
Right.
And again, I'm cast no aspersions, and I would say, and I think I can say safely without going too far over the line, that I think our prosecutor here in this county right now is as credible and ethical and does as good a job as you'll find here in the state of Michigan.
Right. What's amazing, his predecessor, people voted for him overwhelmingly.
Yeah.
But complained.
Yeah. Well, I would say this, and I'm saying nothing about his predecessor, but right. I would say this is, that goes back to something we've talked about before here, is that we have to be more, those who complain about people who are in office, we have to be more conscientious consumers. We have to understand more about the process of who we elect and how they get elected.
Right.
My wife and I were just talking about that the other day, that, I can recall back in the day. Right. That there would be complaints and people would come out. There's a instance that just stands in my mind. It's never left me. A guy I know, nice guy, concerned, comes out of the polling place, and he is enthused about the idea that he's just voted. To the extent I heard him hollering across to a friend of his, yeah, man, I just got done voting, man. I pulled that straight Democratic ticket. All right. And I know that this person had, had an issue, felt an issue with a prosecutor at that time who was a Democrat.
Right.
So you feel, encouraged about the idea that you voted your straight party ticket. But your straight party ticket vote just put back into office this particular candidate that you clearly had a problem with holding that office.
Right. Right.
We have to be more discerning. We have to spend more time looking at the process of how people are elected and who we are electing.
Right. Right. Wow. And it's amazing that there's some people who are elected officials who are more dedicated to their political party.
Oh, yes.
Than they are to the people they voted to represent.
Absolutely. Well, are we not living in that day with our federal government, with our Congress.
Right.
Our Congress, it's no different than Michigan State and Duke. Mm. You know, it's no different than Kentucky and Wisconsin in the Final Four.
Right.
We're on separate teams, and I'm doing what's necessary to back up my teammate, as opposed to when are you going to do what's necessary to represent the constituents, the people who sent you there, or more importantly, not only the people who sent you there, but the people who live in your district who deserve your representation in spite of the fact that maybe they did not vote for you.
Right. Wow. 231-722-8338. About 15 minutes left on the judge show. If you got a question or comment for the judge, the line is open. Are you willing to take any kind of questions?
Do you remember when President Obama kind of intervened pretty high profile when that snowstorm hit? Was it Sandy? It hit New York, New Jersey, in that area.
Yes.
And he went and he met with
New Jersey's governor.
With New Jersey's governor Christie.
Christie.
And Governor Christie had the gall, the nerve to actually say thank you to the president. Thanks for coming. Thanks for all you're doing for people here. We appreciate it. Thank you for your support, Mr. President.
Right.
And shake his hand and be photographed with him and photo opt with him as they're going around and touring disaster areas and trying to make, you know, trying to raise the spirits of people.
Right.
How badly did Christie get criticized by people on the Republican team?
Right.
This is his president, though.
Right.
And even though Christie probably did not vote for President Obama.
Right.
President Obama still says, you know what? I have a responsibility to people in New Jersey to provide the assistance that this federal government can provide. And I'm going to do that. And I'm going to go and meet with the governor just like I would any other governor. And this governor said, you are welcome here. Thank you for coming. You're coming to help us.
Right.
And, man, he got shot to the cross.
Right.
Because he was nice to the president.
Right.
Because the president was being helpful and carrying out his responsibility to him and his people.
Right.
How wrong is that,
man? Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
That is so wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's what politics do.
It's killing us.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, there were people who would rather say, no, you should have dissed him. You shouldn't have been seen with him. You shouldn't have accepted his aid and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Okay. So I dissed the president. I go back in my helicopter back to the governor's mansion where I'm nice and safe and warm and got everything I need.
Right.
And the people that I've been elected to govern are suffering because I showed that president, didn't I? Mm. I showed him what we think of him.
Republicans would have been happy with that.
They would have been happy with that.
Apparently.
People have been cold, hungry, hurting, but they would have been happy that the president got dissed.
Wow. Judge, you have a jail update. It's getting close.
Oh, man. Yeah, that ugly rascal is it's going up.
It's coming up. It's coming together.
It's coming together. Still doesn't look any better to me. What do you think, P.S.?
It's a piece of work. I was hoping that maybe they's going to do some finishing touching on the outside, but I was told that's it on the outside.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think that's it, unless they turn some kids loose and they do a mural or something
right.
on it.
Yeah, they do a mural or something.
I think that's it, bro.
Put Nelson Mandela on there.
Man. Well, you know, it what bothers me is that it sits in the midst of our city. It sits in the midst of downtown.
Right.
If that same building was built and it was on the edge of town somewhere, outskirts by itself or something. Okay. You know, but that's so uninviting to the eye when people come in off the highway, they come up Apple Avenue and they're getting to the skyline such as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is, this big old monstrosity.
Our biggest building downtown.
Prominent, most prominent in a prominent area.
Right.
Sitting next to another ugly building, the Hall of Justice, you know.
Oh, man. It's huge.
PA, you should have wrote a bigger check.
Man.
That one check you wrote wasn't big enough. Hey, and by the way, where is Rob, man? Is he out getting his gray poupon?
Yeah, he probably out getting his gray. He had a cheese. Give me the wine and cheese.
He's talking about there's a problem, man. Yeah. Don't let Rob fool you. Mm-hmm. Rob has a subscription to Condé Nast. Rob is a subscriber to the Wine of the Month Club.
Yeah. Yep. Told me about that one.
He's got a locker in his home that's filled with aged Brie and Pinot cheese and that kind of thing. He invites his friends over. He puts his ascot on, puts on his blue blazer with the crest on, with the Rob family crest on it.
Right.
You know.
Right. Yeah, he put on his Harvard golfing shoes.
his tartan, red tartan slacks.
That's the other side. The other side of Rob.
Yeah, don't let Rob fool y'all, man. You don't let Rob fool y'all.
Judge, you know it's election year, local election.
Yes.
Any thoughts on a direction you believe this community should be going? We got Muskegon Heights got election. I think there's a mayor election in Muskegon Heights. I know there's a city council. I know downtown Muskegon has a city council seats open.
When are those elections coming up?
November.
Yeah. Okay.
So now people now are probably thinking about running. Uh-huh. I don't know if anybody's declared themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if Mayor Page is running for re-election or not.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, we're at a time certainly where the work that needs to be done for these communities is pretty heavy. Some pretty heavy work involved. You know, normally you probably have lots of people who want to be in elective office in normal cycles. I think now you're probably getting people who are really, really committed to the idea of doing some good, or they don't really appreciate or understand the gravity of the situation that they're involved in. Either way, you know, we as voters have to be very discerning. And again, you know, what we were talking about a minute ago, we have to do what's right. Mm-hmm. We have to try and discern who has the strength and the character and the vision to help lead. Not the person who's going to save you, because that person doesn't exist except in the embodiment of Jesus Christ. Everybody else is a servant leader. They're serving too, and they need assistance and they need help, but they do need to be able to put forth some cogent vision as to this is the way, if I'm the leader of this, this is the way forward that I think serves our community best. And the thing that always distresses me about local elections is that they take place and there's so very little really known about the people who are running. They're not required to show of themselves who they are. You know, you get yard signs, you might get a commercial, you get a commercial on the radio,
mm-hmm.
but are they really put to a trying of idea and character? Are you really asking and are they really providing answers to good, sound questions about why is it that you are the person who should be leading us at this time, at this point in time? So I hope, PA, and you do a good, I'm preaching to the choir. I'm talking to others. I'm talking to organizations. I'm talking to groups out there that have the means to bring people together and talk and have these candidates come and show themselves and open themselves up and be scrutinized effectively. to do that on more than one debate, more than one public forum. I mean, these folks should be tired. They should be worn out from having to appear and answer. Mm-hmm. Because you know one of the things you find, PA?
Mm-hmm.
If you ask the same question, will you get the same answer?
Mm. Right.
And if you ask that question over and over in different areas and different venues,
right.
is the answer consistent? Because that consistency would show me something about that character.
Right.
If you can say the same thing in front of different crowds,
right.
you know, because that's a lot of that goes on. If I'm speaking to this crowd, the answer sounds this way.
Right.
If I'm speaking to that crowd, then the answer sounds maybe a little different because that's what that crowd is looking for.
Right.
If you can put people in a position where they have to say, give that answer over and over in different places.
Right.
Can they stand up?
There's going to be a lot of conversation about Muskegon and Muskegon Heights combined and continue to talk. Mm-hmm. Well, any opinions on that, Judge?
I don't know enough, PA, about what the upside is versus what the what the cons, what the downside would be to a consolidation of these communities. I think we're at a point in our history where everything has to be on the table. And given thoughtful, circumspect consideration, not adopt it nor reject it out of hand, but given an opportunity to be heard, fleshed out, tested, and given full consideration before it finds a place in our decision making. So, that sounds like I'm punting, but I am a little bit because this is such this would be such an important, such a seminal moment that to speak about whether it's a good idea or a bad idea without, you know, really understanding the ramifications would be, you know, it would be wrong. I think that would be unwise. But the conversation needs to take place. Mm-hmm. Our leaders need to be having that conversation. Our leaders need to be informing their constituents, their respective constituents, of what they hear and what others are thinking on both sides, and give us the information and let us help you to understand what your steps should be in leading us in that. Now, that's what I think should be happening, man.
Wow. 231-722-8338. Before we go, mm-hmm. Final four. Who are your picks?
Michigan State national champion.
You calling it out?
Calling it? Did I call it? I called that a while ago. Consistency, baby. Didn't I just? I just stood on that soapbox.
How confident are you?
I am fully confident.
You're fully confident.
Fully confident.
All right. You confident enough? You going out to buy the T-shirts now?
If I could get my hands on one, I absolutely would buy it, man. I hate I can't go. I heard y'all clowning me. I won't be able to go. But
he do have those hookups, though. Man. If he wanted to go, he didn't have to worry about bringing on binoculars.
Yes, sir. Would have had a good seat.
Wow, and you, man, it got to be something very important.
Yeah, well, you know, it's an obligation, so I got to follow through with it. But hey, next year,
get your secretary a call.
Yeah, Miss Jan would hook me up if I called her. She'd take care of it. But next year, if they make the Final Four, and it's in Houston next year.
Oh, really? Okay.
There.
Wow.
Gonna be there.
Right. Wow. Well, how proud are you, Keith?
Man, tremendously proud. Tremendously proud. But let's close here, you know, if we're closing. You already, you know, and people who listen know what I think of Keith. And I always include Dale Stewart, too.
Right.
Because he's doing a tremendous job at Heights. Exactly. And I don't ever want that to feel like that's, you know, he's being shorted. We got our core cities have two tremendous basketball coaches.
Right.
And I think the world of both of them, and certainly Keith has shown consistency over the years and playing at the very highest level. But where I'd like to end, man, is I really want to give credit to, you know, Maurice Sain and Louis McMurray. Louis Murray and Josh Wall. These are the assistant coaches at Muskegon. And also to Ricky Anderson. Ricky coaches the freshman.
Right.
And to Jesse York. Jesse coaches the JV.
Okay.
And these young men, these are young men. Well,
right.
Mo ain't no young man no more.
Right.
Just putting it out there, Mo.
Right, right. It's a wrap. Mo, you up here with us. You're on the team.
But these other guys are young men to be admired.
Right.
All four of them. And got a chance to spend just a little bit of time with them in Chicago. You know, they were all there to support Dee Dee.
Right.
And I and my wife and I both looked and commented and said, you know, these are some really, really fine, outstanding young men.
Right.
They carry themselves well. Right. They invest in these young people and they work hard. Needless to say, they are knowledgeable. Right. You know, those game plans and the work that's gone into these state championship type teams that Keith has had does not happen except that they are also just competent and capable and they're learning as freshmen, even at, you know, at the middle school level. But when they come to Ricky and Ricky starts to help them to mature to get ready to be varsity players, and Jesse takes them that next step, man, and they both handle themselves so well. They're well spoken and they, you know, they look good and they treat people right, man. And you know,
right,
everything that you would want to see out of a young person who's climbing that ladder that they're climbing to become, you know, what they're going to become, man. I'm so proud of them. And Josh and Louis, man, they work so hard. And I mean, people have no idea what they invest. They go and get these kids and drive them and get them home. And their families know that they're safe with them. And right. And they, you know, they work with them with their schooling, and you know, they advise them and they allow them to confide with them and all of the things that they do besides getting them ready to play a basketball game.
Right.
These some good guys, man.
The kids look up to them, too.
They do. And yeah. And we should feel so fortunate that staff, that group, each one of those young men, if they pay attention and they follow that instruction, will be a better young person by the time they graduate high school.
That's right.
No question about it.
Wow.
Those are some good young brothers, man. I'm proud to know them, and this community should be proud of who they are.
Thanks, Josh.
And most of them are Tigers. So.
And by the way, no doubt. Oh, wow. Yeah. See you in 2 weeks.
And I think I may be out of town in
okay.
2 weeks.
Are you going anywhere for spring break?
No. No. We're playing it close to the vest here, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Has the snow melted out yet out there where you stay? Has the snow melted? I know it might still be winter out there.
You need to quit, man. Right. Wait, hold up, PA. We're not done yet. Don't start putting your ascot on, too. Hold up. Wait till we're off the air before you put your...
Mine's on. Okay. All right, Judge. Have a good one.
All right, man. Yeah. God bless.
God bless.
It's the Judge Show with Judge...